Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We welcome in a good friend of the program. That is the former head football coach with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Indianapolis Colts, the Pro Football Hall of Famer in Tony Dungy. Coach, thanks for making a few minutes. How are you and the family doing?
I'm doing well, and just hanging in here down in Florida trying to stay safe like everyone. So we're doing great.
No, that's great to hear. You know, in this time, we got a whole lot to talk to, and we'll delve into the Rooney Rule in just a second. But if you were still leading a football team, and there's an unknown of how and when the season's going to get started and what it's going to look like, what would you be telling your team? What would you be trying to get accomplished right now?
You know, basically, you want to try to stay together, and you want to try to stay focused. You have to get the impression across to them there is going to be a season. We don't know when we're going to play. We don't know when we're going to start up. But when we do, we've got to hit the ground running. So that means we've got to stay focused, and you've got to stay as teammates, even though you're distanced apart right now.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Tony Dungy is my guest on CBS Sports Radio. The big piece of news coming from Friday, I know there's a lot of moving pieces, but the big headline part of it is that the NFL is trying to incentivize teams in hiring minority coaches or executives by improving them their draft slots for future years in the draft. When you hear that and when you dissect that and when you review it, just take me through a little bit on what your initial reactions are.
Well, my reaction is probably different than a lot of people because I know some of the backstory, and this is a tiny fraction of what the league is trying to do and some of the proposals that are being made. There's two proposals that are going to be voted on. This one certainly has gotten the most headlines, but it's probably only about 5%. I think the league, they want to try to fix it. Some of the things they've tried in the past haven't worked. And so this was suggested, from my understanding, by the Baltimore Ravens. And their owner, Steve Bisciotti, kind of put this forward. Everyone looking at what kind of incentive plan you could have. They came up with this. I personally don't think it's the right thing, but I understand what they're trying to do. And my hope is that if there would be more discussion about it and people say, hey, you know, we got to do something, maybe this isn't it, but we could think of that. And maybe this is something that works. Obviously, it's going to take something drastic because what has been in place over the last 8 or 9 years hasn't really worked in helping diversity hiring.
So then what would you think would be the right thing to do? Like, what would you like to see be done differently in the proposal?
Well, I have a problem rewarding people for doing the right thing. You know, what we're saying is, basically, hire the best person. If that happens to be a minority person, hire him. Do the diligence, do the work, look at all the candidates. And if you come up with a Mike Tomlin or Anthony Lynn, great. You're going to be in better shape. But I have problems saying, well, if you do that, we're going to give you more. We're going to invite you to do it. You shouldn't have to really reward people for doing the right thing. I understand the sentiment where it's coming from. Intended consequences. It could be like the pass interference rule, where everybody says we've got to do something, but it might not necessarily be the best thing to do.
And that's the part that I don't like about it too, is incentivizing teams for doing the right thing. But not only that, it creates that ambiguous level where then people will question was this really the right coaching hire, or did they hire him for the right reasons, or they did so because they had two people close and they wanted to move up in the draft, you know, 6 to 10 spots, which I don't think teams would use it that way, but people then could present it that way and think that's how it's going to be used.
Right, and that's the problem with the perception right now, and the fact that it was rolled out this way. It has been rolled out like this is the linchpin of the whole program, and this is the only thing the league is doing. It's my understanding, and they've assured us that there are 8 or 9 other pieces to the puzzle that we've talked about, mobility for assistant coaches, and the coaching seminars, and things like that that are going to go in place and help the situation. So I just, you know, I hate to see it come out this way. It could be a good idea. There's maybe something you can do with incentives. I just don't know about this in particular.
The Pro Football Hall of Famer Tony Dungy is here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. A part of it that I did like, and you talked about a little bit, was them no longer potentially blocking assistant coaches to interview for coordinating positions. I was never a big fan of that, where a guy could get a promotion, and because he's under contract with another team in a lesser role, that would never happen, and a team could say, you're not allowed to interview for that offensive coordinator or vacant defensive coordinator spot.
Right. When I was coaching, it was kind of a gentleman's agreement. It was never done. If you had a coach, you know, he's under contract to you as a receiver coach, he gets a chance to be an offensive coordinator, you're going to be more than happy for him and say, you know what, that's great. That's great. That speaks well of our organization. That's great for him. That's what I want for him. You never block those kind of situations. But in the past, it's changed, and it's a different landscape now. And to me, that's going to help all coaches if that passes, not minority coaches, but everybody.
Why do you think that has changed over the years, in that gentleman's agreement has kind of gone away?
It changed because the owners got involved and they started looking at their coaches as assets. And, hey, I'm paying this guy a lot of money to coach my receivers, and, you know, he's under contract. I don't think any head coaches would ever think that way, that I've got to keep this guy here and he can't get a promotion. So I think it's just the owners, you know, feeling like this is part of the way the game has changed. And it wasn't a good thing, I don't believe.
The Pro Football Hall of Famer Tony Dungy here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Another part that I read from Tom Pelissero is that two external minority candidates will now be required to be interviewed for head coaching jobs, and this is going to be put into effect right away. One minority candidate for any coordinating job, and then one external minority candidate for any senior football ops or GM job or any senior level position, period. I think that's a good thing, right, to diversify the room and not just put it to one person being interviewed. But then what I wonder is, as we've seen before with the Rooney Rule, and sometimes it is, you know, you bring a coach in and they do get that job, but in other times it doesn't feel like a legit interview with some coaches from what we've heard in the past. But adding more numbers,
yeah,
I think is a good thing.
It is in theory. And the problem is you can't legislate doing the right thing and doing it the right way. The reason that would be done is for you to get a grasp on the whole universe and see what's out there and take your time and slow down and say, you know what, I might interview 15 people. I might really have a guy in mind that I think I'm going to hire, but I'm going to interview everybody to get a notable and find someone out there better. But you know what, even if it's not, even if I hire person number one that I was going to hire anyway, if it's legit, hey, next year I might be able to tell my buddy who's looking for a personnel director, hey, I interviewed this guy. He was really sharp. We didn't hire him, but he was fantastic. But if you're just doing it to check the box and say, I've got to conform with the rules, I really want an offensive head coach, but I'm going to interview this defensive guy just to, you know, satisfy the rule. I talk to him for 45 minutes and then I move on and make my hire. That's not accomplishing what it's set out to do. And I don't know how you legislate that. I don't know how you get people to do the right thing.
When you hear about Eric Bieniemy and maybe conversations that you had, and I would think this time next year he would have a head coaching job, but who knows in this entire process, what are the things you hear about Eric Bieniemy and why don't you think he got a job in this past hiring process?
You know, you never know why people don't get hired, but I think as the minority coaches look at it, and we've seen this, it's not a new phenomenon. Back when I was coaching, Mike Holmgren was churning out coaches. And Mike Holmgren came out of the San Francisco system. He worked for Bill Walsh. Mike Holmgren didn't call the plays. Mike Holmgren groomed himself under Walsh. But everybody thought, and here's a sharp, smart guy who's worked for one of the best in history, and I want to hire him. So Mike Holmgren gets his job. He goes to Green Bay, does fantastic. He implements the same system. Andy Reid comes up under that. He gets a job. Steve Mariucci comes up. And then when Sherman Lewis, the African-American coach, becomes the offensive coordinator, now he doesn't get a job. And they say, well, Sherman Lewis didn't call the plays. Well, neither did Andy Reid. Neither did Steve Mariucci. Neither did Mike Holmgren when he was in San Francisco. He didn't call the plays. Now Andy goes and does this, duplicates it twice, and goes to Kansas City. And Doug Peterson gets a head coaching job because he worked under Andy Reid while Andy Reid was calling the plays. And then Matt Nagy gets a head coaching job while Andy Reid is calling the plays. But now Eric Bieniemy steps into that position, and then the dialogue becomes, well, he doesn't call the plays. He doesn't coach the quarterback. And you say, wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture? Maybe Eric Bieniemy's not a good coach. We don't know. But don't say it's because he doesn't call the plays.
And then you see in the postseason, too, you see him at times in the game, him calling the plays. Like Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy, same things. Oh, they don't call the plays. They don't call the plays. And then you do see times in the playoffs where they've talked before about how they had an opportunity to call the plays. So that's the head scratcher to me, is the call the play argument like you're talking about.
Yeah. Now, just, you know, don't use that as the reason. And, you know, Eric's going to get his shot, and he's got to be patient. It happened to a lot of people. And good coaches will rise up and they'll come to fruition. But the problem and what everyone sees is, why is there a different set of standards? Why are African-American coaches looked at differently? And to be honest with you, I think the draft really just kind of exacerbated the situation, or at least it pointed it out. The way they had to broadcast the draft this year, in the past, you'd always see the team's draft room. And you'd see 25 people in there, and you'd see a bunch of scouts. And, of course, you know who the owner is. You know who Jerry Jones is or the head coach. But you saw a lot of people. Well, in this year's draft, you saw the head coaches and the general managers was just white after white after white. And it became very obvious. Man, these decision makers, it's amazing in the NFL. But then you go to the draft choices and the players, and it's African-American. And you say, what's wrong with this picture? And it became very visual during the draft. And now the NFL is saying, you know what, we've got to do something to make this a little different. We've got to fix this problem that we have.
Let me just ask you this directly, Coach Tony Dungy. You had a great career, Pro Football Hall of Famer, got to be a head coach with the Buccaneers and the Colts. In that rise, in that buildup, do you ever think you did not get not even a head coaching job, but any sort of job because of the color of your skin?
I think it was an impediment. Yeah, I do. I had interviews with owners who asked me who my staff was going to be and who my, you know, players, what their players would look like. And I had an owner tell me, I don't know if we're ready for that yet. When I said, well, Tyrone Willingham is going to be my offensive coordinator because he's the best offensive coach I know, and he's a good friend of mine, and we think the same way. And you could tell it was, you know, that was, they were not ready for that.
I don't know if you could tell me the owner. I don't know if you want to do that. But if not, what did you at least say to that owner?
I said, I appreciate knowing that. And, you know, I'll try to go back and win and do the best I can do. And, you know, I think I'll deliver a winner when I come. Now, I had other owners that didn't hire me for other reasons, you know. But I do know that it has impacted people. And I've talked to owners about coaches and asked them what they're looking for. And, you know, you just get a sense that, well, I am looking for the best person. I don't know if that's the best person. I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a look. But you could tell, you know, that it's maybe not looking for the absolute best person.
Wrapping up with Tony Dungy, who joins us right now on CBS Sports Radio. Let's chat some other football matters. Philip Rivers joins your former team in the Indianapolis Colts. What do you look at with Philip Rivers and the direction that the Colts are headed in?
Well, I'm excited for the Colts. He knows Frank Reich. He knows the offense. Philip Rivers is a leader. He's a fiery competitor. The Colts have some offensive weaponry that I think plays into his hands, throwing that deep ball, and they get everybody healthy and get T.Y. Hilton healthy and the backs healthy. They could have a dynamic offense. I'm looking forward to seeing what Philip does in my old stadium.
How about Brady going to Tampa Bay? You go with the Bucs or the Saints right now?
Well, he's got the town energized, and I live here in Tampa, and haven't heard this kind of buzz in a long, long time. New Orleans has a great team, though. They've got a lot of weaponry up and down the field on both sides of the ball. I think they're going to be tough to beat, but we'll definitely have energy going on here in Tampa.
Now, are you telling me this? You living in Tampa, you being a former Bucs coach. I know you and Brady would always have those great rivalries with Manning and Brady, Indianapolis Colts, and the New England Patriots. Now, Tony Dungy rooting for Tom Brady with the Bucs?
I sent him a text. I said, boy, it's going to be hard, but you're the hometown guy. Now you're in my town, so I've got to root for you.
And then finally, before we let the Pro Football Hall of Famer and Tony Dungy run, how about the dynamic in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love? Did you think that was the right move by the Packers to move up and draft Jordan Love in the first round?
Yeah, it's going to be tough because, you know, Aaron Rodgers is saying, hey, get me a couple weapons. We can win this thing. And it didn't happen. So he's frustrated with that. But not only that, he feels like they drafted his successor. Now, he's going to go out to prove him wrong, and he wants to play five more years and keep Love on the bench. So I think you're going to see the best of Aaron Rodgers, but there's going to be a little tension there.
Coach, keep up the great work for NBC. We appreciate it. Be safe.
Hey, all right. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.